Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
Today, Wednesday, June 7th, is the feast of Saint Antonio Maria Gianelli, Bishop of Bobbio in Italy. And these are today's headlines. Pope Francis returns to Gemelli Hospital for abdominal surgery. Ukraine says tens of thousands of people are at risk after the collapse of a gigantic dam in a Russian-occupied southern Ukrainian state. And United Nations organizations are drawing attention to global food safety concerns for World Food Security Day. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Our top story today, Pope Francis was admitted to Rome's Gemelli Hospital on Wednesday morning to undergo abdominal surgery. He's expected to remain in hospital for some days to allow for a full recovery. Linda Bordoni has this report.
After presiding at the weekly general audience in St. Peter's Square, Pope Francis crossed the city and was admitted to Rome's Agostino Gemelli University Hospital. A statement released by the Holy See Press Office said the Holy Father was to undergo a laparotomy and abdominal wall surgery under general anesthesia. The surgery, the statement continued, was decided upon over the past few days by the medical team assisting the Holy Father. The procedure became a necessity, it explained, due to an incisional hernia that is causing recurrent, painful, and worsening sub-occlusive syndromes. The press office added that the Pope will remain in the hospital for several days to allow for a normal post-operative course and full functional recovery. The Holy Father's admission to the hospital follows a visit and consultation with doctors at the same facility on Tuesday afternoon. This is the third time Pope Francis has been admitted to the Gemelli Hospital. He spent 4 days in the facility in March when he was treated for bronchitis that had caused him respiratory problems. He was dismissed from hospital on the 1st of April after a rapid and positive recovery. And back in July 2021, he underwent abdominal surgery for a symptomatic diverticular stenosis of the colon. The operation was performed under general anesthesia, which the Pope revealed had caused him some discomfort. But it revealed an overall good health picture for the then 84-year-old pontiff, who has been battling pain in his knee, pain that has been treated with various therapies that have allowed him to walk again, albeit with a cane for short distances and the occasional aid of a brace. I'm Linda Bordoni.
And we invite everyone to join us in our prayers for Pope Francis for a full and speedy recovery. Meanwhile, in response to journalists' questions regarding the surgery Pope Francis is undergoing this afternoon, Cardinal Pietro Parolin, the Vatican Secretary of State, says the Pope will need all the time necessary for the operation and initial recovery, after which he believes he will be able to resume activity even if from a hospital bed. The Cardinal met with journalists after blessing the newly inaugurated Jubilee 2025 Info Point, the welcome center for pilgrims for the upcoming event. Thaddeus Jones has this report.
Speaking to journalists outside the newly inaugurated Info Point for the Jubilee 2025, Cardinal Pietro Parolin, Vatican Secretary of State, said, "We're close to the Pope with our affection. We accompany him with our prayers, hoping that everything will be resolved as soon as possible." Pope Francis is undergoing surgery at Rome's Gemelli Hospital in the early afternoon of Wednesday, the 7th of June. Cardinal Parolin met with journalists midday on Wednesday for the inauguration of the Info Point Jubileum 2025 on Via della Conciliazione, the information and welcome center for all pilgrims who will participate in the forthcoming Jubilee. The inauguration opened with a prayer and a gospel reading with Archbishop Rino Fisichella, pro-prefect of the Dicastery for Evangelization, next to Cardinal Parolin, who then blessed the structure, which has already been open for some time. Cardinal Parolin then met with journalists present to answer questions about the Pope's surgery, the second colon operation now after the first one almost 2 years ago in 2021. Asked if he was worried about the surgery, the cardinal said, "I don't know what to say as I don't have additional information one way or another," over and above the statement issued by the Holy See Press Office. He added that the statement offers medical details that are helpful to have an overall understanding of what's happening and the operation that's required. In response to another journalist's question, he said there's been no transfer of powers. And regarding the duration of the operation, he explained that it could be a few hours, whatever time necessary for the operation, and then later from a hospital bed, the Pope could resume activity. He added that if there were things that required an urgent decision, they would be taken to the Pope at Gemelli Hospital. Journalists also asked Cardinal Parolin about the visit of Cardinal Matteo Maria Zuppi, president of the Italian Episcopal Conference, to Kyiv as the first part of the mission entrusted to him by the Pope to ease tensions in suffering Ukraine. He answered that Cardinal Zuppi's mission is intended as a collaboration, a further contribution that the Holy See can also make to peace. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
Before heading to the hospital, Pope Francis, at his general audience, continued his series of catecheses on figures embodying apostolic zeal, reflecting this week on St. Therese of the Child Jesus and her little way. The Pope praised this doctor of the Church, who, despite illness and early death, illustrated how to do even the littlest things with extraordinary love, and who is now spending heaven doing good on earth. Deborah Castellano-Lubov has this report.
Let us imitate the little way of St. Therese by doing even the littlest of things with great love. With this sentiment, Pope Francis described St. Therese of Lisieux, patroness of the missions, at his weekly general audience in St. Peter's Square as he concluded his catechesis on saints who personified apostolic zeal.
Santa Teresa di Gesù Bambino.
Recalling the beloved saint to whom the Pope has a great devotion, born 150 years ago, the Pope expressed his plan to dedicate an apostolic letter to her on her anniversary. She is the patroness of the missions, but she was never sent on a mission, he observed. Therese was a Carmelite nun who lived her life according to the way of littleness and weakness, the Pope explained, recalling she defined herself as a small grain of sand. Having poor health, she died at the age of only 24. But though her body was sickly, he suggested her heart was vibrant and missionary. The Holy Father pointed out to how she recounts in her diary that her desire was that of being a missionary, and that she wanted to be one not just for a few years, but for the rest of her life, even until the end of the world. Her daily resolution, the Pope highlighted, was to make Jesus loved and to intercede for others. Several times she said, "I will spend heaven doing good on earth." Without being visible, she interceded for the missions like an engine that, although hidden, gives a vehicle the power to move forward, the Pope said. He lamented that she often was not understood by her fellow nuns. She received more, quote, thorns than roses from them.
Più spine che rose.
He observed, however, that she always accepted everything lovingly and patiently. Missionaries, Pope Francis clarified, are not only those who travel long distances and are good at proclamation and do good works. No, he said, a missionary is anyone who lives as an instrument of God's love where they are.
Un missionario anche che comunque vive dove si trova come strumento dell'amore di Dio.
They are those who do everything so that through their witness and their prayer and intercession, Jesus might pass by. One does not, he said, become a Christian because they are forced, but because they have been touched by love. Pope Francis concluded by encouraging the faithful to let us ask St. Therese for the grace to make Jesus known and loved. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
At the conclusion of his audience, Pope Francis applauded the ecumenical and interreligious initiative 1 Minute for Peace, appealing to the faithful to join him in praying for an end to the wars plaguing the world, especially the war in Ukraine. Tomorrow at 1 p.m., he said, Catholic Action International suggests that believers of various denominations and religions gather together in prayer, dedicating 1 Minute for Peace. And he added, let's accept this invitation, praying for an end to the wars in the world, and especially for dear and tormented Ukraine. Meanwhile, in Ukraine, says tens of thousands of people are at risk of massive damage or drowning after the collapse of a gigantic dam in the Russian-occupied southern part of the country. As Stefan Boss reports, Ukraine's president has pleaded for international help, saying hundreds of thousands of people have been left without drinking water.
These panic-stricken people, who have already fled their homes due to severe flooding, scramble for safety again, and this time for Russian shelling heard overhead. Yet, despite the dangers, rescue workers continue to deploy boats to rescue people from the Kherson region. There is little time left, as floodwaters could be seen chest high in some parts of this area. Several people desperately wave for help from the rooftops of their inundated homes. The damage to the Nova Kakhovka Dam
in the Dnipro River near Ukraine's port city of Kherson overwhelms rescue workers. Kiev says Moscow blew up the dam to prevent Ukrainian forces from crossing the Dnipro River to continue a counter-offensive against invading Russian troops. Moscow denies these charges. The Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has accused Kremlin-appointed officials in the area of failing to evacuate local people and has urged international organizations to help. He also said that hundreds of thousands are without regular access to clean drinking water following the breach of the dam. Ukraine officials have already described the tragedy as the biggest eco-disaster since the nuclear Chernobyl power plant explosion in 1986. Ukrainian forces said they witnessed Russian soldiers being swept up in floodwaters after the Novakakovka dam burst. They say many were killed or injured after the dam collapsed. These casualties added to the long list of hundreds of thousands of people killed or injured in what is now Europe's bloodiest armed conflict this century. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
And finally, two United Nations agencies are urging lawmakers and various different sectors of society to establish national food safety systems on World Food Safety Day. Zusla Gaspi tells us more.
The United Nations World Health Organization, or WHO, and the Food and Agriculture Organization, or FAO, have drawn attention to global food safety concerns on World Food Safety Day, observed annually on June 7. This year, the International Day aims to emphasize the vital role of established food safety practices and standards. In a video message, Dr. Maria Neria, WHO Assistant Director General, highlighted that more than 200 diseases, ranging from mild to severe, can be caused by consuming contaminated food. Dr. Neria stressed the importance of not only considering food safety when illness occurs, but also proactively prioritizing it, as foodborne diseases are entirely preventable.
Food safety standards protect everyone's lives. They are key to ensuring safety and quality. And that's why WHO, together with FAO, leads global experts groups and provides scientific advice to develop international food safety standards to protect consumers' health. Safe food allows the uptake of nutrients and promotes human development. Nobody should die from eating food. These are preventable deaths.
Meanwhile, the FAO has launched a website aimed at assisting workers in the food sector in adhering to international food hygiene standards. The FAO emphasized that with 600 million people affected by foodborne illnesses each year, ensuring safe food for everyone is a priority. I am Zeus Legaspi.
And that brings us just about to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also get all the latest updates on our Facebook page, Twitter feed, and Instagram account. Many thanks to our sound engineers in the studio in the Vatican. I'm Christopher Wells.